Well, joining me now this Christmas morning are two young men who have chosen to follow a spiritual path, both having decided to answer a call to devote their lives to their faith and become priests. Anthony Hartnett and Stephen Sherry are currently studying for the priesthood in the seminary in Maynooth, and they both join me now. Good morning and happy Christmas to you both.
Good morning, Miriam. Happy Christmas.
Lovely to see you both. Listen, can I ask you both to tell me a little about your backgrounds, where you grew up and your lives before entering the seminary? Let's start with you, Stephen.
Miriam, I'm from Ballybay in County Monaghan, a small town in the Diocese of Clogher. And before coming to seminary, I went to school in Ballybay all my life, primary and secondary. And then I decided to go to the University of Limerick and I studied English and History as an undergraduate degree. And it was during that time that I was discerning for the priesthood. And then once I had finished, I decided to enter into the seminary.
Anthony, tell me about yourself. You're 26, Anthony, and Stephen, you're 25.
Yeah.
So tell me about your background.
So I'm from Bray in County Wicklow. I grew up in Clifton, County Galway, and our family are settled and living in County Donegal in Stranorlar. I'm in my sixth year of seminary. And I know also from a family of eight. So I'm one of eight. I'm the second youngest, the youngest boy.
Are you spoiled rotten?
I don't know. I think as a teenager, I thought my younger sister got all the good things. But no, we were kind of, in many ways, there's the three of us or four of us younger, and then there's the older one. So around Christmas time, I'd always be dying to see my older siblings come home, from college or from work or wherever. That's me.
And Stephen, before entering the seminary, had you been considering, say, any other career, or did you always want to be a priest? It's unusual enough for young men now. We know there are very few vocations. So had you thought about doing something other than being a priest?
Yes, absolutely. Priesthood for me came only when I was getting my CAO ready before the Leaving Cert. And even at that, it was a very sort of quiet entering into the vocation. I had often thought about business, but it would seem to be something very vague. Something more solid I thought I would want to be was a teacher. And that's sort of why I went on to do English and History, because they're two subjects I really love and I would love to teach them. And hopefully maybe one day we'll get that opportunity as well. Mm. But teaching would have been something I would have saw a career in.
And Anthony, did you always want to be a priest?
Not at all, no. when I was about five, my dream was to be an F1 racer. Then that kind of evolved and developed in different ways. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a video games developer, actually. And then after I decided I didn't want to be a video games developer, I didn't know what I was interested in. And the thought of priesthood was a scary one when it was kind of presented to me. I was like, no way, why would you want to do that? But in the kind of towards my Leaving Cert, my faith began to grow and develop, and particularly when I began to meet a lot of priests who, through different youth organisations, youth groups and things I was involved with, I could see what they were doing and also their joy and their passion. And that was eventually what kind of convinced or made me think again about it and kind of pray and say, okay, God, I'm not really interested in this, but if that's what you want for me, then okay, I'm open. I'm not saying yes, but I'm open to it.
So was it originally an idea you had yourself and then you just kept putting it to the back of your mind?
No, it was, I remember at a youth retreat I was at, and this priest was asking the question to a few other people, and kind of the very question made me just terrified. And I remember there was a girl I fancied at this retreat, and I kind of nudged her and I said, I think God's calling me to marriage. Just like a comment, but me kind of pushing it away. So in a way I kind of was. But then when I was 18, 19, that's when I kind of made that prayer. I remember one night before going to sleep, it was kind of on my mind. And then I was so busy, it wasn't until I was in college that then this resurfaced again. And then I realised, oh, maybe actually there's something here.
And just before I bring Stephen back in, that's so interesting that you mentioned, you're at this retreat, you were sitting beside a girl you fancied.
Yeah, yeah.
Because recently I was talking to Father Brian Darcy, and he was saying, the downside of being a priest is that you have to give up, the idea of marriage or a companionship with a woman or a man. Mm. Was that a very difficult decision to make?
Yeah, I mean, for me, kind of, I suppose, I felt it in an acute way, insofar as when I was in college, there was actually somebody I was friends with, and I was thinking, kind of romantically, New Year's Day, I'm going to ask her out on a date. Mm. And just the weeks leading up to this, this was when in prayer, in the kind of quiet times when I was praying and reflecting about, okay, God, what do you want for my life? This came up and I was like, okay, what's going on? And I talked with my dad, I talked with my brother, and my roommate who I was close with at the time, and my godfather too. So I had that support to kind of just flesh things out. There was no pressure to go for it. And that's when I decided I'm actually, I think there's a call here. So going back to your question, I think, yeah, like the cost is a real one. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I've experienced so much joy in being able to perhaps maybe with a more undivided heart devote myself to prayer and also to people, to be able to be to journey with people in their faith.
And you, Stephen, did you find that difficult? I suppose it's the choice you have to make, isn't it? You either devote yourself to God or you perhaps get married and have a relationship with someone. But you have to give that up once you go into the seminary.
Yes, absolutely. It was one of the big points of my discernment during my time in university, because not every day I would want to be a priest. And it was a coming towards that, especially when I went home and I'm surrounded by a family. My mother has been minding children for as long as I can remember. And so my house is always full of like a holy noise of children. Mm. And it really is one of those things where I saw a family at one point in my future. So to come towards priesthood and to feel that God was calling me to something else, it wasn't a simple thing to say yes to, because there was always that other part of me saying, well, what about this? And that's when I was in university, it really was a struggle. But I think as I went on, I felt more at peace with the call to priesthood, and it became more solid and more real to me. And in that, you know, I have found great support with friends and even relationships with people like friends and family. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same as having a marriage, obviously, but mm-hmm. there is great companionship in that.
Definitely.
And what about other churches that allow priests or clerics married? Do you think one day that might be a good idea? So you don't have to sacrifice so much to devote yourself to God.
Well, currently we do have married priests, some widowers who had maybe been in the seminary and then left and got married mm-hmm. and have returned. And also the ordinariate from the Anglican Communion, people who'd converted over and their marriages still stand in that. So it is, and even in the history of the church, there has been married priests beforehand. So we don't know what way it will be. That's currently, right, yeah. I think what we have is it works for a lot of people. And when I was entering seminary, I was saying yes to that as well. I don't think I could have entered hoping that it would change. Mm. I don't think that would be a very difficult life to go into. Mm-hmm. Always thinking, will this change for me? I had to accept the way it was now.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, the kind of that thing of coming into seminary and then journeying in celibacy and learning, okay, how to be human, how to be happy in that. And also just looking to the example of other priests and to ultimately to Jesus himself. I find there's a joy to be discovered and a gift to be discovered in celibacy, in living a life in that kind of devoted way. Although, as I'm sure we all know, there are many married people who are completely devoted to God and to their faith. So it doesn't mean that just because you're married, it doesn't mean you can't be devoted, do you know?
It's definitely not either or.
No, absolutely not. No.
What did your families think, Stephen, first, when you said you're going to be a priest?
When I first started the seminary vocation, my parents knew nearly from the very beginning. I felt I needed to tell somebody because it was so new to me. But I didn't tell my siblings. But I suppose after the years of discernment, 4 years was a significant amount of time, and they could see a change in me, and they weren't very surprised. I think the comment was, that sounds like something Stephen would do, you know. So I was happy in that way that this wasn't coming out of left field for them. A lot of questions, you know, because oftentimes there's questions they would ask me that they mightn't want to ask the parish priest. So it's always interesting conversations.
Like what would they ask you they wouldn't ask the parish priest?
Even what happens after we die? Questions like that, like real
and what do you say?
Questions. I actually had a very good conversation with my 14-year-old sister only a couple of months ago, and we were there for half an hour. When we started, the whole family was there. As the conversation went on, everyone left. Because we were the only two that were extremely interested in this topic. Yeah. But it was great. It's great to have somebody there who's so inquisitive and was really just has this thirst for knowledge as a young person would have.
That's
really
interesting.
So we went into it, and I'm still learning myself, only in my first year of theology, but talked about, you know, please God and the second coming, you know, which is something that's way, way out, and it's a big theological concept. But she was very receptive to it all.
Mm. Did you basically say we go to heaven?
I explained the difference of heaven, hell and purgatory. And then the way that some people think, well, that's not just it, then there's please God, the second coming. Yeah. But it was a very big conversation.
In a sentence, yeah. What's the second coming?
When Christ will come again in glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It's funny with Stephen saying that many people said, you know, oh, I expect as much of Stephen, because I got the same as well. And I was shocked when people said, oh, that they thought I would go for priesthood, because in my mind, that was the last thing that I was even applying to seminary. I was like pinching myself, am I really doing this? But my friends made the same kind of comment.
And your family?
Family, very supportive. And I've been so blessed to have that, you know, and to be able to just, you know, still be a brother, still be a son and be an uncle as well.
But on this Christmas morning, I'm thinking, when the two of you, which I'm sure you do sometimes end up in a pub or something, talk to other people and people say, what do you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get a strange look? I'm being respectful now when you say to maybe a young girl or a young guy your age, well, actually, I'm becoming a priest. Mm. What do people say?
In my experience, most like people my age or younger actually are very positive and supportive in saying, oh, fair play to you. And then there would be some who are older who'd be like that, or others who would maybe be kind of, they might broach a question to kind of test the waters to see, you know, are we seriously thinking about what we're doing rather than just going through the motions? I don't know what you're...
Yeah, sort of, it's been a mix of both. Some people extremely interested because it's like, it's something that's countercultural, and all of a sudden, all these questions come out, and much like what my sister was asking me about. And then some people see it very much as a career, as in, okay, that seems like a sensible career move rather. And, you know, it's at that point maybe when I try to sort of explain, well, yes, but it's also vocation. It's something more than just a career. Mm-hmm. But again, it is good to have people who are interested in questioning it in a positive way. Some people question in a negative way. But again, I think people would do that with any job or vocation.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, wonderful. And you're patently such two lovely young men. It's Christmas morning. It's Christmas Day. Is that extra important for both of you since you are dedicating your lives to God, or is it just, do you think this is important for everybody? How important is this Christmas Day to you, Anthony?
Really important. It's a very special day. Lots of happy memories of family time together and looking forward to that. But as far as on that deeper level, there is that too. I think for me, I love to take a bit of quiet time to pray and just to reflect at some stage in the midst of the hustle and bustle, whether it be maybe Christmas Eve or in the morning, just get up a little bit extra early in the morning to pray and just to think about what Christmas is all about, Jesus coming into the world, the manger, the crib, you know, what does this all mean?
And for you, Stephen?
Absolutely. Christmas? It's one of those days when, especially when you're in seminary, it's maybe the first time you're home in a couple of months. So it's special to be there with family and, you know, getting to celebrate this together. And it does have a particular significance, but even people will celebrate it in their own way. And it's very interesting to see that. But even when I think of Christmas's past, you know, coming down on Christmas morning, all the presents from Santa Claus, in my family, it's always been, okay, the presents are here, very good. Now let's go to Mass. You know, it's always been a part of our tradition. So for me, it hasn't been any major change since entering seminary. But it's great to have that family time. I find that's a great, important part of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you two the very best. And Stephen, conscious of all the work that many mothers, fathers, lots of people do on this Christmas Day, you have a short prayer for us this morning.
Yes, Miriam, if it's okay, I think we'll say the grace before meals.
Perfect.
Bless us, O God, as we sit together. Bless the food we eat today. Bless the hands that made the food. Bless us, O God. Amen.
Stephen, thank you so much. I wish you both a wonderful Christmas Day, and with your futures to both of you. Thank you so much for chatting to me this morning, this Christmas Day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Miriam.